Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathleen O., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, June 1st, 2020, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today, we are reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter, A Vision for You. We're on page 159, the first paragraph. That begins with, he had three visitors. And we'll be commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Martha M., who will be reading the 12 steps, Terry S., reading the 12 traditions, and our readers of the text are KP, Brandy M., and Dawn B. The share ID for Sunday, May 31st, the special edition, is 14,723, 14723. And for this morning's Monday, June 1st, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, share ID 14,726. That's 14726. Our newcomer greeter for today is Janice P.M., and Dawn B. will be making the announcements. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Martha M. to read the 12 steps, please.
Good morning. This is Martha M. from Connecticut. I'm a recovered anorexic, bulimic, and compulsive overeater. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people, wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening, as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And I thank you for your service and the opportunity to do service today. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Martha M. Terry S., will you read the 12 traditions, please?
Good morning. This is Terry S. in Oregon, recovered food addict. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry the message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Terry S. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing. Someone's unmuted. If you could press star one, please. And that you keep your share to a
We don't hear you.
Okay, sorry about that. I think when we muted the other person, I got muted too. Okay, I'm going to start over. I'm going to go to B. Our abstinent requirement Okay. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Okay, we're back on track here. So today we are going to resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 159, the first paragraph that begins with "He had three visitors." We're going to be commenting on that one paragraph only. So, KP, if you could get us started, please. Good morning. K, press star 1 to unmute.
I'm sorry, that took me a moment to get unmuted. I apologize for that.
No worries.
My name is KP from Malden, South Carolina. Recovered compulsive sugar addict and overeater. He had three visitors. After a bit, he said, "The way you fellows put this spiritual stuff makes sense. I'm ready to do business. I guess the old folks were right after all." So one more was added to the fellowship. I was raised in a very strict religion, and so much that if I had ventured to say darn, I would have gone to hell if I didn't get forgiveness right away. And I had a hard time believing that God was so mean. So the way they talk about spiritual stuff, and we've already covered that, just opened up something for me. The doctor's opinion opened up what was happening to me. I knew I was exactly what they were talking about. When we got to the spiritual stuff, this is what I needed. I had found a different path since my childhood, and I knew that God was not the mean, harsh, judgmental deity that I needed. So I have a much more gentle, loving, guiding deity now. I don't think it matters what name you put on it. I don't think it matters how you see it. Just matters that there is one and it's not you. I've heard that before. But that night, the first meeting I went to, July the 9th, 2018, I became abstinent from sugar. And I will always be grateful for that. And the three visitors, they were not actually visitors to me. I'm the one who went to the meeting. But three people stayed and talked to me afterwards. And it made all the difference in the world. I was afraid I wouldn't fit in because I'd heard a lot of God talk, and my God is a little bit different. And I finally told them that, and they said, "We don't care. Nobody cares." So the spiritual stuff made perfect sense to me, and I jumped right in, and man, what a life I've got now compared to that. 100 pounds lighter is nothing compared to the spiritual aspects of it. Marvelous. And I think I will pass with that.
Thank you, KP, for getting us started. Okay, we're on page 159, the first paragraph that begins with, "He had three visitors." And although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who else would like to share on page 159, the first paragraph?
Deborah G.
Deborah G.
Stephen G.
Stephen G.
Dion R.
Dion R. Mo-H. Mo-H.
C-T-T.
C-T.
Thank you.
Now I can take one more.
Roz
G. Roz G. Okay, great lineup, guys. I have Deborah G., Stephen G., Dion R., Mo-H., C-T-T, and Roz G. So go ahead, please, Deborah G.
Hi, this is Deborah.
Oh, good. Go ahead, Deborah. Thanks.
Hi, this is Deborah, compulsive overeater. And thank you, Kathleen, so much for sharing. And thank you for your read on the book. And thank you all for making this meeting possible. It's so cool to be able to have this meeting this morning and every morning that it's available. I love the Visions meetings. And I love the reading because it, again, validates for me my experience in this program and those beautiful 12 steps. You know, the spiritual part is that I continue to, like the other person was sharing, break free of those old ideas of a God that I had experienced with in the past. And the one I have today is just amazing, loving, kind, caring, gentle, wants my highest good and greatest joy. And it's evident by when I do those beautiful 12 steps that I get healed, that I have a spiritual experience, that I don't have to continue to live like I lived. I just had that recently. I had that I can take a 10 step to. I took two 10 steps to. And the freedom in my head, the freedom in my body and my heart, and my openness, and that self-centeredness just crumbling away and being of service and helping others, which is what that higher power, that God, wants me to do, is clear all that way so that he can use me. It is so cool. And in that whole experience, I'm not wanting to go to the food. Anyways, much, much love to everyone. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Deborah G. Okay, Stephen G., it is your turn, followed by Dion R.
Thank you. I'm Stephen G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. Thank you for your service. I'm grateful to be able to share today. So the paragraph starts with, he had three visitors. And it's just a reminder that we can't recover alone. And throughout my course in OA, you know, I've had a number of these quote-unquote visitors, people who have shown me that their experience was like mine and have also shown me what it looks like to be recovered. And so regardless of what concerns I had or doubts about whether this could work, I'm looking at people who, as it says in the part of Bill's story where Abby Thatcher comes to visit, he's seeing a miracle before his eyes. And that's happened to me as well. I also came into the program with lots of issues with organized religion. I wanted to believe in the way that people said to, you know, they believe, but I simply couldn't. It didn't make sense for me. And similarly to what Abby Thatcher said to Bill, which is, why don't you choose your own conception of God? And when the program made that available to me, or made me aware that I could do that, it suddenly opened up my mind. And then, like I said, like what he says here, I'm ready to do business. He's not saying I'm ready to do some more thinking. He's saying I'm ready now to take action. And that just reminds me that the way to a connection to a higher power, or, you know, I believe God, is by taking specific actions. And when those, when I do those things, some really good things are going to happen. And once I do that and I start to feel it, before I was willing to believe, I was open to the idea, but once I see those things happening for me, then I actually do believe. So yeah, this is a great paragraph. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephen G. All right, Dion R., it is your turn, followed by Mo H.
Yes, hi, good morning. This is Dion R., excuse me, recovered compulsive overeater from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. And when he thought about, when he talks about the three visitors, first thing I thought about, yes, I had three visitors that interceded in my life. One was the people of Overeaters Anonymous, shall I say. And the other one is the actual evidence of seeing people who had been there before and hearing their story identification. So, and I guess that was the seeing it happen in someone's life, a person that, who had talked the talk, walked the walk. And the third one is when I actually had that awakening. I mean, the intersection where my higher power was able to seep in my head, because to me, I call that the Trinity in the spiritual belief. It was like, oh, wait, he came through me all kind of ways to let me know that he was real. You know, and throughout my life journey, he showed me that he's real. And because I thought it was just my way or the only way, this human way. But when I get out of my human part, I could, thanks to Overeaters Anonymous and other 12-step programs, they open a gate where God can intercede in my life and show me that, oh, this is not about physical, it's a spiritual thing. And I was spiritually sick. I was really spiritually sick. I was worshiping all kind of things, and it wasn't my higher power. If I can't do it, it can't be done. If it doesn't make sense in my mind, it can't be done. But today I know there's a universal intelligence, people call it, but to me I call it God, the God of my understanding. And if there's not a spiritual answer to anything, then there's no answer. It's just no answer. And I try my best, even here on a daily basis, not over all this chaos in the world. Today I'm not eating over it only. This is only because there's a higher power, and I keep trying to seek him. My human part comes out in sadness and crying and all those other emotions. But the thing that gets me balanced is remembering, what can I do? This is not my battle. The battle is not mine. This whole battle is none of ours, first of all. It's not mine. But I want to choose today what's that I want to work on. And today I want to work on my recovery. And recovery is doing good to my highest good, even while I'm acknowledging my humanness. And with that, I'll pass, guys. Thanks for allowing me to share and be a part of the spiritual answers. Thank you. I'll pass.
And thank you for sharing, Dion R. Mo H., you are up, followed by CTT. Go ahead, Mo.
Yeah, thank you, Kathleen, for your service very much, and all those on the line, all those giving service in the month of June. My name is Mo H., recovered compulsive eater and sugar addict from Walnut Creek, California. And there was a big blank space there, so I just thought I'd put my name in there. Hadn't planned on sharing today, but there's always something to say about these paragraphs. Yeah, three visitors. So I was thinking three visitors. I've had many, many, many people try to help me with working this program and doing the 12 steps in different ways and in different forms. And it wasn't until, it's a little over 4 years ago, when I was desperate, someone said to me, "Are you done yet?" In other words, are you desperate? And are you willing to go to any length? And I had never been asked those questions before. And I really had to think, you know, am I done yet? You know, and I think this relates to this paragraph, you know, the way you fellows put this spiritual stuff makes sense. I'm ready to do business. I guess the old folks were right after all. I'm ready to do business. When this person said to me, "Are you done yet?" I really had to think, was I done yet? And I was desperate at that point. But yes, I was done. And yes, I was willing to go to any length. And that means to follow directions, to follow what she suggested. And she is the first person in my 25 years in the rooms of taking me line by line or chapter by chapter through the big book and explaining it to me clearly. And I feel at that point I was added to the fellowship. And that's the way we help newcomers. And that's why I love this meeting so much, because it studies the big book. And everybody gets a turn to comment on, you know, these paragraphs, long, short, two sentences, three sentences. There's always something to learn in this book. And every day I learn something, I take it into my life, and I am sometimes able to pass it on to somebody else. So I appreciate all of you and all of your shares and everybody that does service. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Mo H. Okay, CTT, you are up, followed by Roz G.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you all for your service this morning. It's such a delight to be on this meeting, and I just love a big book study. And I really, truly love that I'm walking, so I'm breathing hard, that we study this and share on a paragraph at a time, because there's so much in these sentences and paragraphs and pages of the book that helped save my life. I came in with an idea of what this all was going to be about. I went to my first OA meeting. I had been in recovery for another program for many years, and I sat cross-armed against the wall hoping I wouldn't relate, and sure enough, I related to everything, and I was so mad, and people were so sweet, and they came up like these visitors, and they explained to me what they had done, not what I had to do. And that gentleness allowed me to come back the next week and look for the similarities. And again, more visitors came up and welcomed me. And the third week I bought literature, and the fourth week I bought a book. And next thing you know, I had a sponsor. And nobody ever said to me, "Are you done? Are you ready to go to any length? Are you going to fight for this?" And any of that. But my continued attendance and meetings and willingness to look for the similarities and listen to my visitors, who were so kind and gentle with me, was my statement that yes, I've done. And I'm very grateful for the program of OA. I've struggled in OA off and on. The only thing that I've continued to do is ask God to help me keep going. And so I started a meeting, and every Tuesday I go to this meeting, and you know, we've had ups and downs, and steering committee meetings, and all kinds of things that have been the visitors gathered together, if you will, explaining that we have one group conscience and a loving God that guides that. And I have struggled with God over the years in many ways, and I'm lucky that I have a sponsor who helps me find a new way to define God every time there's a struggle. And right now it's a great spirit, and it reminds me of my dad. And isn't it a beautiful thing that we get to pick the one that works for us? So there's a statement in the book, my favorite, one of my favorite, probably my favorite line in the book. I think it's on page 21, although it's not in this paragraph. It's what appeared to be a flimsy reed proved to be the powerful and loving hand of God. And I came in here with hanging on to a flimsy reed for sure. And today I know that, thank you, I know that your shares and your service and your love and being my visitors has shown me that I can do that for others. And that's how God speaks to me. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, CTT. Okay, before we take Roz, just a reminder, we're on page 159, the first paragraph that begins with, he had three visitors. And I'll be taking some more names after Roz. So go ahead, please, Roz.
Thank you. I needed to unmute. Yes, thank you.
There you go. Thanks.
Okay. My name is Roz G, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in the city of Palmdale, California. And because of the power of God, I have am entering into my 11th month of abstinence, and haven't had pizza or chocolate since. So what I'd like to say here is what this paragraph says to me today is that there is a mutual respect among people, a mutual respect among beliefs. And the way that I caught on to this and that I said and that I was added to that fellowship was I was at an OA retreat many years ago. We were on the beach and it was run by Catholics. And one of the leaders of the retreat is not particularly a believer in a traditional God. Yet, she referred to the leaders of the retreat, to the leader of the people who ran the retreat as Father Frank, Father so-and-so, Sister so-and-so, nuns and priests ran it. And when she, you know, the priest came into the room and she goes, oh, Father blank, blank, you know, and asked him a question. And I thought that that was so respectful that she referred to him as what his title is in his religion. And I had gone to a church where, oops, sorry, that's my car. Sorry about that. Where the preacher had pounded on the pulpit and say, I'm not going to call anybody father. The only father I have is, you know, up above. And it was such a separation of kindness and respect. And what I get in this big book and in this fellowship is respect. And that what that does to me is it attracts me to recovery. And although I've had my ups and downs with food over the years, I maintain a mutual respect for everyone, and I am so grateful that I'm respected for mine, and I'm here to stay. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Ross G. Okay, a reminder, we're on page 159, the first paragraph. He had three visitors, and although we value your experience, we ask you to limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who else would like to share on this paragraph?
Lisa B.
Janet E.
Lisa
B. Reggie O. Did I hear Kelly?
Yes.
Okay, Kelly S. I think it is. Okay.
Margo P.
Margo?
Margo P. Yes.
Margo P. Okay. I can take a couple more.
Janet.
Mary G.
Okay, I got two coming in. Mary, was it Mary G?
Yes, Mary G.
And then was it Janice?
Arlene B.
Okay, hold on one second, Arlene. I got you on here. Janice, did I hear you?
Yes, Janet E.
Janet E. Okay. Okay, let's stop there, guys. Janet. I think you said E. Okay. I have Lisa B., Reggie O., Kelly S., Margot P., Mary G., Janet E., and if we have time, we'll get you in there too, Arlene B. So go ahead, please, Lisa B.
Yes, good morning. Thanks for your service and for everyone that's here. My name is Lisa B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Greenville, South Carolina, and I do spell my name L-E-S-A. I was thinking about this line and listening to all the shares, and I love looking at the history of AA and, you know, what the precepts, you know, the Oxford tenets that were there, which described a conversion experience. And I think about the solution that Dr. Carl Jung said to Roland Hazard when Roland was so desperate and really upset to hear that really there is no hope except possibly a conversion experience that happens every so often. And, you know, with my background, I was afraid of this process that I would have to join a church or join a certain faith. But what happened for me when I came to OA and found out about this meeting and that it is possible, it's truly possible to get recovered in my body, mind, and spirit from this illness using the 12 steps and using the big book, I was desperate enough and willing enough to trust that the 12 steps, the experience would happen for me, and it may not look like another person's or my sponsor's or my parents' faith that they taught me. But, you know, the thing that is helpful for me is to remember that there are agnostics and there are atheists that have some wonderful podcasts on A Vision for You that I love listening to the message in We Agnostics shared by this particular speaker from Canada. And it helps me when I work with others that have agnosticism or atheism that they can find a power that's greater than themselves, and it doesn't have to be from a traditional church. And what I also get from – did you say time? Am I almost out of time?
You still have a minute, Lisa. Go ahead.
Okay.
No, that was
I thought I heard something. I apologize. So anyways, what I get from this reading is that he got an understanding of his problem and that it's an allergy of the body. There is no hope for him. And that the other thing I understood is that my mind is always going to take me back to the food unless it receives the remedy, the spiritual remedy, through utilizing the steps being done in abstinence. And that's what my hope is. And it is a wonderful way of living. It really is. It's not always perfect, but it's a useful, happy, joyous life. And I'm grateful to have it. Thank you. I pass.
And thank you, Lisa, with an E, B. Okay, Reggie O, you're up next, followed by Kelly S.
Hey, good morning, Kathleen, and thanks so much for your service, everybody on Team Monday and everybody that's on the line and sharing this morning. My name is Reggie O, gratefully recovered in Woodland Hills in the Los Angeles area. And boy, yeah, you know, it's amazing what's in tiny little paragraphs. I the way you fellows put this spiritual stuff makes sense. Back when I first discovered OA, if someone had, it wasn't presented to me in a spiritual sense. It was presented on the phone in two different conversations after I woke up one morning and realized I was an alcoholic with food and didn't know there was an OA program. But I ran into two friends shortly after that on the phone and telephone conversations that they didn't say a thing about God, anything except that they found this program and their lives had been radically changed. And then the first meeting, person number three was a woman who pulled out a pair of overalls that was, oh my gosh, probably a huge size, twice the size she was. And I related to her, and I had never had that kind of a weight issue. And but you know, this event, I've been on a spiritual path, but if anyone had used the word God with me as the spiritual path here, I would have turned and started running, because when I realized how much it was in the book and everything, I was quite incensed. But the community was actually incredibly strong, even though we didn't study the 12 steps, and people really wanted to be abstinent. So there was a lot of good, you know, that kind of recovery with abstinence. And the first time I went through the steps, the third step I could not take because I couldn't turn my will and my life over to the care of the God that I knew, which was a very punishing one. And from my, you know, Christian childhood, and it's not a statement about Christianity, just a statement about the way I grew up. And I just want to say, you know, that over time that has been such a big, big piece for me because someone did suggest that, you know, that Abby Thatcher, you know, the very first person who said, Bill, why don't you choose your own conception of God, which changed everything, especially Bill W. at the beginning. And someone said that to me, my sponsor, when I came back from that third step. It was outside of program. It was an AWOL. It wasn't done in a meeting, but an outside meeting. We studied the steps, and I came back. I said, I can't do this. I can't take this third step. And she said, she didn't say these words, but basically she said, why don't you choose your own conception of God? And that began my journey, you know, and today I am grateful to say I know that is the biggest part of my program, as is my accountability buddy talks to me about the Trinity, you know, God, another person, and myself. Because even though the early times I studied the 12 steps, the focus was 1 through 9 and never 10, 11, and 12. And there wasn't a whole lot of focus on completing 9. And 10 was my greatest challenge, and now it's, you know, one of my greatest gifts. So thanks so much, and I pass.
Thank you, Reggie O. Okay, Kelly S., you're up next, followed by Margo P.
Hey, guys, it's Kelly S., recovered compulsive eater and bulimic in Oklahoma. Glad to be online. Thank you, Kathleen, for your service. And I really just wanted, well, I'm sure I'll have plenty more to say, but I really wanted to thank you guys for your shares. And this is why that, for me, I love to listen to this meeting. You know, I get to hear stuff from the paragraph that didn't even pop out to me. And I know when Steve shared, I hadn't even realized, you know, he had 3 visitors, and the whole idea about this being a WE program, because I have shared recently that has really come to fruition for me, because I get it, the steps are written in WE, right? But it's really been powerful to me lately. And then the whole thing of he's ready to do business that he shared, and about taking action. And those were things that hadn't popped out to me in this paragraph, which is why we study this stuff over and over and over, because we see new things as we get unblocked, and why we meet each other so we can see these things that I was just focusing on the spiritual part, which I do want to share on, but you know, I'm just grateful. It's so funny. I know I say this every time, but it's always linking back into what I'm studying. And I started back in the steps again, and I'm in WE Agnostics. And my paragraph today and what I wrote on was so similar to this, because it was back in 46 in WE Agnostics. And it was just that whole paragraph about, you know, when we found, as soon as we were able to lay aside prejudice and express even the willingness to believe in a power greater than ourselves, we commenced to get results, even though it was impossible for any of us to fully define or comprehend that power, which is God. And I remember, you know, 5 years ago, when I finally decided to do business and take action and do the work, I finally realized I don't have to make sense of this God thing. I guess the old folks were right. What I think about is, you know, I listened to Vision for 2 years before I was willing to take action, do business, and put the food down. And I finally decided these people were right, and I can't make sense of this God. I've heard people say, if you can comprehend God, he's probably not big enough, right? And so I just had to lay aside my prejudice and, you know, just have a willingness to get busy. And then I had to take the action. You know, I kept waiting to feel God. I wanted to feel this Zen thing, you know. And sometimes I do feel God, but, you know, the truth is I just take the action, and it's not until we do all 12 steps that we're even promised this spiritual awakening. So anyway, just grateful to be here. Grateful so much for you guys' shares and that we're studying this paragraph together. And glad to be here. Thanks. Pass.
Thank you, Kelly S. Okay, Margo P., your turn, followed by Mary G. Margo P.
Good morning, everyone. Hi, my name is Margo. Grateful to be on this call. Grateful to do what I need to do when it talks about Vision for You, and then follow up with another sponsor so I don't get out there and go with the food, because that's what I did before, and willing to do anything to understand what my higher power can do for me, what I cannot do for myself. you know, in recovery, as long as I be connected with the big book and saying, there is a way to follow, the follow of the spiritual path in my recovery. And I remember when I had my first sponsor, she suggested, make those 3 phone calls in between. And I understood what she meant by that. Like this, you don't binge in between. And she was saying, that's the only way it's going to work. You make those 3 phone calls like you're having 3 meals a day. And I follow on it, you know. And that was a long time ago. But I lost the continuation of doing the 3 phone calls. But the vision for you brought me in a different way. If there's a phone call every day to be part of this vision. So I'm willing to stay and willing to continue doing what I need to do, ready to do the business, because this is what the paragraph says. You know, they have 3 visitors, and we have a lot of visitors in our program. It's one day at a time. So thank you. Allow me to share. I have not shared for a while. And I'm just grateful. I need to pass it on. And thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you, Margot P. Okay, Mary G., you're up next, followed by Janet E.
Hi, this is Mary G. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Mesa, Arizona, and thank you for everyone who has shared. And this is just such an amazing paragraph. You know, I came in 31 years ago, and it says here, after a bit, he said, you know, this makes sense. The spiritual stuff makes sense. I actually came to OA because it was a spiritual program. It's what attracted me to it. But unfortunately, when he says, I'm ready to do business, you know, I thought I already knew what I had to do. You know, but what I loved about this paragraph was, so one more was added to the fellowship. You know, it didn't matter that I came in so arrogant that I couldn't learn. It didn't matter that I thought OA was supposed to teach me how to be a normal eater. You know, it didn't matter that it took me 17 years of relapse to get to, you know, where I could put the food down and surrender it. It didn't matter that it took me 4 more years to understand that I had to change, you know, that the steps were so that I could change. You know, it didn't matter that I found vision only maybe 4 or 5 years ago when I was sick and, you know, worked the steps with a vision sponsor. And, you know, it only took a couple weeks because I had worked the steps. I had cleaned up most of the wreckage of my past. But that sponsor helped me so much. She helped me let go of a 5-year resentment that had just been beating me down. And, you know, I just couldn't let it go. I mean, I would listen to all the, you know, vision talks on resentment and everything. And she just said a couple things to me that just, like, opened up this door, you know, the spiritual experience of, like, oh, my gosh, I can look at this at a different way. And, you know, this whole idea that, you know, anyone who desires to stop eating compulsively is added to this fellowship. I don't have to do it any one right way or any, you know, however I'm working this program is the way that it is for today. Now, do I want to get better and do I want to continue recovery? Oh, yes, absolutely. You know, so I do have to work it. But it's okay that, you know, for 17 years, all I did right was keep coming back. So with that, I'll pass. And thank you for letting me share.
And thank you, Mary G. Okay, Janet E., you're up next, followed by Arlene B.
Thanks very much. I'm Janet E. I'm a recovered bulimic, compulsive overeater, and restrictor in Ecuador. And it's so great we're reading this chapter. I don't have very much underlined in it. The rest of the book is just tattered. And this, for some reason, this chapter, doesn't have that. And I'm seeing so much. I'm getting my colored highlighters out and going to work on it. But what I see here is I'm ready to do business. I'm ready to do the work. And there were times I wasn't ready to do the work. I definitely wasn't ready to do the work because I had too many yeah buts. I had too many ideas of how I thought I should do the work. Doing the work at one point meant Janet figures out her own food plan. Janet figures out her own red light foods. Yeah, how'd that work for me? Well, it didn't. And Janet wanted to be in self-will and hang on to certain things and keep them held behind my back and work the program my way. I didn't understand what it meant to really do the work. The work is is perfectly laid out with clear instructions in this book. And it took finding this meeting and hanging out long enough to really start to understand there was a whole nother way of working this program that I hadn't been doing. And for a long time, you know, I had to decide, did I want to give up my, you know, couple times a month going out on a big bender and binging? Was I ready to give that up? It didn't seem so bad. It's not like I'm eating every day. I'm restricting on those other days, so those days are okay. And maybe I'm just binging a couple times a month. How bad is that? Well, what I came to understand is that I didn't have freedom. I wasn't free. And I heard in a level of freedom on this line, and a level of recovery that felt very different from what I was experiencing. And I knew that unless I was willing to take new and different action, I wasn't going to get a new and different result. So doing the work this last time, which has brought me to a recovered state and neutrality, and so grateful for that, I got a nutritionist involved for the first time in my life. I had another member who's recovered help me identify my red light foods and put down additional foods that I never thought I would put down, and I did. And got into the book with a recovered sponsor, and the end result of that is I got a different result. But I'm so grateful for this. What a beautiful chapter, and this is timeless. It's timeless, you know. What these men and women experienced then, we experience now. I felt like they felt, you know, and my insides matched their insides. So great to read all this and be a part of this fellowship. Thanks. I'll pass.
Thank you, Janet E. Okay, Arlene B., it is your turn.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Arlene B. I'm from Coconut Creek, Florida. This is the first time I'm sharing on the vision. I'm very excited and a little nervous. I just completed the 12 steps with my vision sponsor, and the prospect of sponsoring other people is very exciting and scary, but I do have a formula. I've been in the room since my 30s, and I'm approaching 80, so many, many food programs, many years of abstinence and relapses, and this is the first time that I understand why I have gone back out. Now, it's interesting to me that the early members got it so fast. You know, they were so willing. It took them a matter of days before they were able to, you know, complete the steps. And true, they had fewer steps in those days, but they were basically the same actions. It took me a couple of months because we really went over the big book line by line. I listened to so many helpful podcasts. And every day when I listen to the vision, I'm asked to write down a couple of things that I really resonate with, which is always hard for me because I resonate with everything. But I send those remarks to my sponsor at night along with my 11th step. And to me, it's such a miracle that I have this process that gives so much structure to my life. The food today is not an issue. I'm coming up on 6 months again of abstinence, and I'm very excited about it. And I'm not going to stay on long because I am a little, nervous doing this, but I hope to share again. And I thank you all for your wonderful contributions because everything that's said added to my program today. Thank you. And with that, I pass.
And thank you, Arlene B. Okay. I want to thank everyone who shared this morning. Really great shares, and so happy to that you're sharing your experience, strength, and hope with us today. And a special thanks to Team Monday, Martha M., Terry S., KP, Brandy M., Dawn B., Janice PM. And now we are going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So, Brandy M., would you please read a vision for you?
Sure, thank you. I'm Brandy M., recovered compulsive eater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answer will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road to happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you safe until then. Thank you. Kathleen, we can't hear you.
I'm actually